Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Now, today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies which will keep us engaged in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to entitle the series, Knowing Christ. The book of Hebrews was written for the specific purpose of showing the superiorities of Christ. He is compared with all the Old Testament foreshadowings, types and shadows, and those indications that he was coming. And here he is. Here he is in the book of Hebrews, just shown for what he is, our Redeemer. We are going to entitle our studies in the book of Hebrews under six headings: our Captain and Deliverer. He's our Apostle and our High Priest. He's our sacrifice and our access to God. He's our goal and example. He's our mediator and companion. He's our helper and the great shepherd of the sheep. Today we're going to read in the second chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews is such a lovely book. I just trust that the listeners will enjoy this book to its full. Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning at verse 8, we read there, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." And the text would have us realize that this is during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to sit on the throne of this world. This is not just aspirations. This is just not vain hope. It's a reality. God has promised it. Christ is going to rule over this world. "He hath put all things in subjection under his feet, and for that he hath put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but we see not yet all things put under him." Now before the throne comes the cross, and here's the cross. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things," the Creator, that's who Christ was, "in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." So he is the captain of our salvation. Now notice, please, he is the captain because he is the leader and the originator. A captain really doesn't originate the plan for battle. That's done at the higher echelons. That's done up in the generals. The captain, however, is a leader of a lot of men. Now, I don't mean to say by that Christ didn't do the planning. He was in on it. He knew before he ever came into this world that he was going to that cross. By the mutual consent of the Godhead, it was all planned this way. And so here we have Christ as the originator. He is the leader of salvation for you and for me. Now I want you to notice, please, what he's done at the cross. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, not in worth, not in his inherent possessions, what he is in himself, but for a little time, not lower than the angels in state, but lower than the angels in time. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death." He was made lower than the angels. He was made a man. He was born a man. We'll get to that later in the chapter. For the suffering of death. Why? "We see him now crowned with glory and honor." Here's the reason why. "That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." You know, the wages of sin is death, we read in the scriptures. God, when you break God's holy law, there's no leniency. Death is the result. Death is the answer. Death is God's decree. But God did not want to send you and me to hell. So he sent his Son into this world, and he tasted death for every man. Now this brings before us the omniscience of our Lord Jesus Christ. "I verily believe that by the grace of God, that he should taste death for every man." I think that he knew on the cross that he was dying for Ken Baird. As a matter of fact, I would say Ken Baird was on his mind And I will say to every listener listening to this broadcast, you were on his mind too. He tasted death for you. Why? So you wouldn't have to taste it. In the mercy and the grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ became our Redeemer, became our substitute on that cross. You know, this is seen in the earliest book written in the Bible. Christ is our Redeemer. Job was written long before the Pentateuch. Now, the Pentateuch, in its substance, antedates, of course, the book of Job. But Job wrote that long before Moses wrote the Pentateuch. And we read there in the 19th chapter of the 25th verse. Now, remember, please, this is the first book in the Bible, the first book that was written. Now, listen to it, please. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, what a sublime statement. But listen to this. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job saw Christ as his Redeemer, the one who redeemed us and brought us back to God. When you redeem a thing, you buy it back. And God bought us back to himself. We were separated from him, in the Garden of Eden. Satan drove that wedge between God and Adam and Eve, and they had to be expelled from the garden. But I'll tell you before you get out of the chapter, God promises a deliverer. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And here, all these centuries before Christ ever existed as a man, of course, he knew that his Redeemer was coming to buy us back to God. And he paid the price that we couldn't pay. If we'd have paid it, we would have been in hell forever. But he took our place, and he died on that cross in your place and my place. Also in the book of Job, Elihu, when he's explaining to Job something about the sufferings of Job, Job couldn't understand all his sufferings. Elihu told him, he says, God often does this with mankind. He brings him into trouble and trial where he has at his wit's end and he has no resources. And then God says, when he brings him to that place, Elihu said, of God, when he brings him to that place, then he says to him, and these are the words of Elihu, then his grace is unto him and saith, deliver him, for I have from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. I better correct that statement. These are the words of Elihu, quoting God. Deliver him, I have found a ransom. A ransom is a price that is paid for the deliverance of somebody else. And did you notice that that word here is used? Deliver him from going down to the pit. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is a deliverance, first of all, from the penalty of sin. It's a deliverance from the law. It's a deliverance from the power of sin. And there'll be deliverance from the presence of sin when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to take us out of this world and give us glorified bodies and take that sinful nature away from us. Job saw all these things centuries before Christ came into this world. And our salvation was completed at that cross, gloriously completed at that cross. And Christ tasted death for every man. Now, men don't appreciate this, but I'm going to tell you, when they stand before the judgment of the great white throne, no man is ever going to say, I was doomed to this place of judgment. He's going to have to admit, the judge on the bench at the great white throne is going to have the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet, and the gaping wound in his side, and the marks of the thorns upon his brow. They're going to look at their judge. And who is their judge? The one who died for them. The one who tasted death, and they wouldn't have it. Oh, how sad. How great our responsibility when Christ did die for you and for me, that we have not accepted him. Now, he's our deliverer, as we mentioned, as well as our captain, leader, originator, the one who planned it, the one who executed it, the one who died for you and for me, is also our deliverer. We read that down farther in the chapter. We read in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers in flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Death is separation from God, and Christ cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt that awful distance, the distance of those, the distance of those who are in that pit, that eternal lake of fire, will feel from God. Christ suffered that distance so we might not have to suffer the distance, so that we might indeed be brought near to God. These are wonderful words, and he took on him flesh and blood. As God, he couldn't die, but as man, he could die. That's why he became incarnate, that he might die for you and for me. Listen to these wonderful words as we continue on. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver. He's a deliverer. Salvation and deliverance are synonymous. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And so he became like us. He came down into this world that he might die on that cross for you and for me. Now, we have not covered this subject adequately at all in the matter of the deliverance from the penalty of sin on the cross. And he delivers from the power of sin now by the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. We keep above that power by his Spirit and his Spirit's help. And someday that Spirit is going to give us a new body. As we've already mentioned in previous broadcasts, he's going to give us a new body. And that is the triumph, the final lasting triumph over sin and its awful consequences. It's when God died for you and for me, and then the Spirit makes it real in our hearts. Makes it real to our understanding, gives us that conviction, gives us that pleasure of knowing, I have taken the Lord as my own. And God says, he that receiveth the Son will have everlasting life, in John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things we are proud and indeed happy to bring before a listening audience. Our Father, today we thank you for our salvation accomplished by Christ when he died for us on the cross. In his name, amen.